This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We continue VSiN by the Books. I am Dave Ross right here at the Men Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Going to have Greg Peterson join the program in a little bit, get his Major League Baseball plays of the day, and Alex Crook is going to rejoin the program as well, all over his World Cup selections a day ago. Let's see if we can do it again here on a Tuesday. And Jensen, that's exactly where we begin this hour's highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Big day for Brazil, Morocco, and Paraguay. They were all nail-biters, all drama attached to them, and dramatic fashion in all three of these matches here, Jensen, as they move on and punch their tickets to the round of 16. It was kind of cool. You saw the some of the Japanese fans distraught over the loss with their fan base, in tears. And the Brazilians, the fan base is there trying to lift up their spirits. I know there's been others that maybe I saw, like England, chanting for the Scots to go back home and get your tickets punched. It feels like World Cup fever, though, Jensen. It is definitely sweeping not only our country, but dare I say the world.
So the Canary Yellow out in force there down in Houston yesterday. And boy, they were biting nails left, right, and center all the way till the final minute. At the death, that is where Brazil knocks home the game winner. They survive in advance. They await the winner of the first match today between Norway and Ivory Coast. Much more drama would ensue. Little did we know, Dave, that was a preamble as we are on the precipice of 250-year birthday celebrations here in these great United States. A preamble to what this World Cup Constitution has unfolded with. It was Germany falling in penalties to Paraguay. And boy, if you are a French future holder, you are loving life right now, because that could be a clear pathway and not a lot of resistance into the round of 16. Should France handle Sweden later on today, they will face Paraguay in that round of 16 match. Morocco, in the 90th minute, gets the equalizer against the Netherlands. They would move on 3-2 in penalties. They take on Canada, and Dave, numbers already surfacing that Morocco minus $1.35 favored in regulation against our Canadian friends to the north. That winner will move on to take on that Paraguay and France-Sweden game that will take place on July 4th. But boy, if yesterday was any indicator, we have a hell of a slate that we've got later on today as well.
And I don't think it's just because we're the host nation. I don't think it's just because we're still alive here with Team USA getting ready to take on Bosnia-Herzegovina tomorrow. But it does feel like we will win, that we've got a team that's good enough not only to get through Bosnia, but hopefully challenge some of the bigger boys. Eric Winalda was on Money Moves discussing this, and maybe our star of stars being just that come tomorrow night.
If we go back to that first game against Paraguay and you really evaluate the way Christian Pulisic played, I mean, he looked like prime Neymar. I mean, he was so fast and so, it was just a lightning rod. And what that does, to be honest, he was taking on two people because I think he was excited. I think the tournament had started. He wanted to make a point. But if that happens again, you know, we've got other guys that are going to be open. And if they decide to overload one side, he's smart enough to get rid of the ball. We switch the point of attack, and we get it to somebody else who can play. So either way, whether he has a calm game or they really try to shut him down, he'll have a couple of moments. But the fact that we have other guys that are in great form, that's probably our greatest strength. I still think he gets a goal, to be honest with you. I really do. I think he'll get a goal.
How about Eric Winalda, prime Neymar? He throws out there. So high praise right now when you're talking about Team USA. Jensen, $7 betting favorite. It would be a massive disappointment to not get through this stage. And again, we're all kind of wrapped up in it. But I think Winalda points out there, you know, if you've got other guys now and they're doubling up on Christian, there's going to be other opportunities here for USA to strike.
Yeah, we'll see. Do not take Bosnia for granted. Just look to our German friends. Japan had Brazil on the ropes and Brazil able to survive. So you got to handle your business. You have to put them out very early. Send numbers forward, continue pressing the attack. Do not allow Bosnia to hang around here and create some uneasiness for sure. I am very excited to see what this group has for us tomorrow night.
But again, we know that Germany was not a $7 betting favorite, so it would be a great disappointment if Team USA does not get by Bosnia-Herzegovina. John Morant, I guess, turned out to be a pretty big disappointment in the end in his Memphis tenure, because he's been moved now to the Blazers. Free agency, of course, officially underway and is going to begin tonight here in the association, so it's going to be chaotic. Jensen, it kind of feels like a sad end to a chapter there in Memphis that began so promisingly. A lot of off-the-court issues here. Maybe a new lease on life there in Portland, but again, a buy low spot here for the Blazers.
Well, this is also a big swing for a young core that now looks like Scoot Henderson and Ja Morant in that backcourt. So you're hoping the star power and the playmaking and that whole, you know, kind of new lease on life might be a way to go here. Also, Memphis gets rid of one of the biggest distractions they've had to deal with the last couple of years. So I think they feel pretty good about it as well. Other moves of note, Kristaps Porzingis, he signs a 2-year, $40 million deal there with the Warriors. They also add Al Horford. Draymond Green declined his player option. That was expected. Julian Champagne, 3 years, $45 million extension with the San Antonio Spurs. What a key member he was, not only through the playoffs, but into the finals. I would anticipate more news dropping. Our great friend of the program, Shams Charania, been hard at work the last couple of days, so excited to see what other news transpires here today and moving forward.
Bad news in the NBA, not all about the good news of free agency and see where everybody lands. We know that Malik Beasley and Ed Davis, they might end up in jail because there are federal charges now against these two former NBA players. This goes back to 23-24 season when Beasley was in Milwaukee, four games of note, props that allegedly he was fixing, whether that was bet to the over and or the under to make sure those props came home. And then Ed Davis allegedly was gambling on those props that Beasley was to be altering. Jensen, it's quite the web that the federal government has laid out here against Malik Beasley and Ed Davis.
Yep, innocent until proven guilty. But Dave, anytime you have a multi-year or at least a year and a half long investigation, you don't commit that kind of manpower and resources without feeling like you have a compelling amount of evidence. It sounds like from what's been revealed, it is pretty daunting against the defendants here. For people that don't remember, this is stemming from four games back in the 2023-2024 season. Much more to come from this one. I'll be interested, too, what Adam Silver, another black eye for this NBA that has had their issues with this illegal gambling now the last couple of years. What changes will happen? And we know that there's already been adjustments. You said it for people just joining us, Dave, the state of Kentucky or the Commonwealth of Kentucky has already adjusted within that geopolitical realm right there of not offering or at least limiting some of the unders for player props too. So states already acting on some of the issues, not just to basketball, both professional and college, but also just kind of overall, like we're going to kind of limit the opportunity for any ridiculousness to ensue from what's happened so far.
According to the federal government, the winnings of more than $75,000 bet on these prop markets exceeded $121,000. Ed Davis made over $47 million in his career. Malik Beasley made over $60 million. $121,000 is what we're talking about. Wow. How about this? Terrion Arnold, his saga continues. He was granted the opportunity to get bail, and that was unexpected down there in Florida. And then, according to the court order, he would have been eligible to go to Lions camp and practice part of his work, right? But everything else, he'd have to be confined to his home. Well, after this ruling came down, the Lions said, don't worry about the work part. They have released the former first-round pick, Terrion Arnold. So now his case, which is disturbing the details of it in specifics, Jensen, it's not NFL player right now, Terrion Arnold. It's former NFL player.
Yep. Again, arrested last week on felony charges of armed robbery and kidnapping. The $1 million bond conditions contingent upon it, Dave. Terrion Arnold not allowed contact with six co-defendants or witnesses in the case. has to surrender his passport within 48 hours and will be confined to his residence in Tallahassee there in Florida, except when he would be playing, training, and traveling with the Lions or making court-related appearances or legal appointments. We can now amend that and remove the Lions portion of that, as you alluded to. So a lot of issues ahead. As far as it pertains to the Lions, Dave, you know, key piece of that secondary that I'm sure Dan Campbell and company were going to rely upon. Big shoes to fill there on the field for what they will do there, especially with the safety and cornerback room.
First round pick at Alabama just a couple years ago, Nick Saban did write a letter of character, if you will, to the judge in Florida on behalf of Terrion Arnold. We'll find out what his situation looks like. But right now, it's not one that is going to reside in the NFL. Yannick Sinner, boy, I know you gave out a cross-board parlay, and I know you were sweating a little bit yesterday in that first round. He does get through. Serena Williams going to make her comeback today, if not the greatest, one of the greatest champions in the history of women's tennis to be back out there. Jensen, a little nervy, but even for Novak Djokovic, too, it wasn't easy for the number one and two betting choice here on the men's side.
No question. I did not need that sweat early, but hey, survive in advance. That's been the theme here on the World Cup pitch and now on the grass of Wimbledon. We'll see what Serena does. She is a short $1.10 dog here in her match later on this morning, about 3 hours time. If everything is on time there, we shall see what she does in her return to the court.
I did hop in a little bit live action when I saw Sinner was in trouble. I got him $1.35 now to win Wimbledon. So right there with you, I was like, hey, I get a good price point here. I think he's going to come back and win this first round matchup. And that sweat was real, but he gets through to the second round. All right, when we come back, Greg Peterson's going to join the program as well. He's got a bevy of plays today in Major League Baseball. We'll get to his selections next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Going to have Alex Crook join the program in the next hour talking all things World Cup soccer. But right now we catch up with our guy, Greg Hoops Peterson, also loves his Major League Baseball. So, yes, he's the host of VSiN's Coast to Coast Hoops podcast and the Baseball Betting Show. Give him a follow on X at GUnit_81 and joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. Good Tuesday morning to you, sir. White Sox in Charm City. Taking on the Orioles, and boy, the defense was optional late in that game for the Orioles. White Sox get a nice runaway victory late. What about today out there in Baltimore, Greg? Do we think that runs might be at a premium?
Yeah, it was an overwhelming ninth inning out there in Charm City yesterday. I do think that things tame a little bit more with regards to scoring in this game, so I'm going to be in on the under. I recognize that Eric Fetty is doing for a little bit of regression. Right around about a 4.24, 4.34 ERA. Fielding independent is about a full point higher, but the White Sox have actually been performing relatively solidly with their bullpen. They've been able to have some of these guys, like Grant Taylor, Brian Hudson, be able to step up, give you a sub-3.50 ERA. And then for Trey Gibson, he's been able to get a little bit more swing and miss here for the Orioles. Overall, since getting called up to the big league level, less than 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's also given up 300 runs or fewer in all but one of his career appearances as well. I do, though, trust in the White Sox with regards to their lineup a little bit more. I trust in that bullpen a little bit more as well for the Orioles. Ryan Ellsley has really not been great ever since coming off the injury list. We see him blow a few games ever since then. So this is a spot where with the White Sox, I did take plus money on them. I was able to find this above a plus 135 in some spots, and I do think that they're the superior team. So looking at it, 10 after the under, and I'm looking at the money line price here of the White Sox.
Excellent. Well, we're looking north of the border is a pretty solid pitching matchup later on tonight. We get Nolan McClain for the Mets. We get Kevin Gausman for the Blue Jays. Traditionally, this would be a hammer the under, but we're looking a little more towards the other side of that ledger for the total tonight, Greg.
Yeah, typically Kevin Gausman is pretty solid with pitching. Has not been recently. A combined 13 runs allowed in his last two starts. Not a place where you want to be. Now, the good news is, you face the New York Mets. I wouldn't have to say much else, and a lot of people would be nodding in agreement, but for the Mets, less than 3.7 runs per game scored away from home this far this season. That is second worst in all of baseball, but I really believe that the Blue Jays are going to be able to find it a little bit more offensively. They've been a bottom eight team in terms of run creation this far this season, but they really don't strike out a lot. Third in the league in terms of fewest strikeouts on a per at-bat basis. Where they really went wrong has been the power. As I mean, Kazuma Okamoto is the only guy in the roster right now that's give you a double-figure amount of homers. So I do think they're going to need to be able to get a little bit more there. And I do think that they're going to moving forward. Vlad Guerrero has only had 4 home runs this far this season, which almost just feels wrong coming out of my mouth, considering right now we are in very, very late June. But I think that'll be improving a little bit more. For Nolan McClain, he's been able to give you about 10.7 strikeouts per 9 innings. Command has been a little bit all over the place, between 3.3 to 3.4 walks per 9 innings. The Mets have been quite good with regards to that bullpen, but McClain, he himself has seen his ERA go to right around about a 4. So I do think that he gets some scoring in this game. I do like the over, and I took the Blue Jays on the money line because, man, it has been a rough season for the Mets, and most teams see a nice bump with an interim manager. It just feels like for the Mets, there's not a lot that'll give this team a bump right now.
No, this team is dead. I hate to say it. I wish it was different, but Greg, that there is no pulse right now with the Metropolitans, that's for sure. There is one right now with the Red Sox. It looks like Undertaker gift right now. They're kind of getting off the mat. They've won a season high 5 straight games in a row. But today, do you think the good vibes end in Boston?
I do. Cade Cavalli, I think, is one of the more underrated pitchers in all of baseball. That ERA is a 4 flat. The fielding independence more around a 3.53. He's been giving up less than 1 home run per 9 innings. He's in that neighborhood about 9 strikeouts per 9. And Connelly Early, he's been a solid pitcher thus far for the Red Sox with about a 3.72 ERA. That fielding independent, once again, though, is about a full point higher, 1.5 home runs over 3 walks allowed per 9 innings. And it's a Nationals team that's currently numero uno in all of baseball in terms of total run creation. And keep this in mind with the Nationals as well, where they've really been able to make their hay at the plate this year has been against left-hand pitching. Against left-handers in terms of on-base plus slugging, they are number one in all of baseball, and Early just so happens to be a lefty. That, I think, is going to be hurting this team a little bit. Now, for the Washington Nationals, you've got a few whammies to avoid, and by the whammies, I mean the entirety of that bullpen, which we saw what happened last week against Philadelphia Phillies. Mm-hmm. I know that our good friend Jensen was tweeting about that. Man, felt like it was Groundhog's Day every single time those guys came in. But for the Red Sox, they enter into the series last in the American League in terms of run creation at home with about 3.6 runs per game. Went up a little bit yesterday, a nice little bit of an outburst there, but still, they have been pretty brutal with their offense at home. I think that Cade Cavalli does give you that great start. So I like the 9 after the under. I took plus money on the money line here with the Washington Nationals.
Excellent. Greg, when great minds think alike, we always love to say that here on the morning show. And you and I aligning on a total between the Reds and the Brewers tonight. Pitching matchup, pretty advantageous for it. Rhett Lauder for the Reds, Brandon Sproat for the Brewers. Seeing 9s at DraftKings, but I think you and I might align on a half run lower to get to an over. What say you?
Absolutely. If you can get to an 8.5, especially I like the over. If all you've got is a 9, I still like it to the over, mainly because with Lauder, well, he's been making some noise in terms of the amount of walks that he's giving up. He's giving up well over 4 walks per 9 innings. And for the Brewers, 5.2 runs per game this season. They just nickel and dime you and give you death by a million cuts. They're a bottom 7 team in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. They've been a little bit power with the power ever since the likes of Jackson Trio and Christian Yelich have come back, but I mean, they just find a way to be able to manufacture runs. And for the Reds, now you've got Ellie De La Cruz back. He, J.J. Bleda, Sal Stewart, all between about 12 to 15 home runs this season, so they're a much more fortified offense now that he's back in there. Reds bullpen has really not been great this far this season as well. Hard to believe they actually led the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA through the first month of the season because They're back in the bottom half of the big leagues with that regard. I still would look at a plus 160 on the money line, though, just because with Brandon Sproat, 542 area, 1.7 home runs, over four walks per nine innings. There are so many things that have been great for this Brewers team. It feels like everything that they touch has turned to gold. Brandon Sproat has been the one thing that has not turned to gold for them. So I do like the over and the Reds here on the money line.
Former Met, go figure. Let's talk about the Rays and the Royals today here, Greg, because if you're looking for teams that are offensively challenged, you don't have to look too far. The Fountains have been off a lot in Kansas City this year. Could we get another under game here in KC?
What has been interesting about the Royals as well, they've actually been averaging about 4.8 runs per game at home. They are dead last with that run creation away from them, but still, it's been a very underwhelming season for them. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, Griffin Jacks, he has been a completely different pitcher in the starting rotation. He had an 80 ERA with three home runs allowed per nine innings coming out of the bullpen. That goes down to a 240 with 1.2 home runs per nine innings as a starter. Now, for the Kansas City Royals, I really like what I've been seeing out of this team a little bit more here recently. The offense has been a little bit better, but Noah Cameron, he's been much better than that 450 ERA. More than a full point better on his fielding independent. He's giving up less than one home run per nine innings. He's only giving up about 2.5 walks per nine innings. For the Rays, it's a team that has three really good mashers. Junior Caminero, I think, is one of the most underrated players in all of baseball. Yandy Diaz, along with what you've been able to get as well out of Jonathan Aranda, all these guys at least 12 home runs. Lone three guys on the roster with at least 12 home runs. So a little bit of a top-heavy team. Rays bullpen has been a little bit better here recently, and for the Royals, couldn't get much worse with that bullpen. I'm going to call it what it is. 10.5, just too high of a total here, in my opinion. I took a shot on the under, and I do think that at plus money, the Royals present a little bit of value here on the money line.
All right, Minnesota and Houston, we had liftoff last night, and we got to an over 8.5 by the hair of our chinny chin chin. We get Joe Ryan, one of the fake aces in Major League Baseball, up against Mike Burrows. However, can we back the Twins in this second game of the series tonight?
Well, you may call Joe Ryan a fake ace, but he's certainly still better than Mike Burrows here. Mike Burrows has had a rough season. Over a 540 ERA, two home runs allowed per nine innings. This is just not great, to say the least. And I mean, for Joe Ryan, the numbers are really good. Like 317 ERA, 285 fielding, 10.5 strikeouts per nine innings, 1.7 walks per nine. I can tell you, there's a lot of people talking about the Brewers press trade for Patrick Skubal. If they get Joe Ryan instead, I will be as happy as a clam. So they can get Joe Ryan if they'd like. I'd be very satisfied with that because he has been very solid for the Twins team. And for the Twins, they are dead last in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. They have been for quite a while, so that's been a little bit of an issue. But Joe Ryan really saves that bullpen here, so that total of 8.5, I think that's just a hair too high. I just frankly do not trust in Mike Burrows. And additionally, for the Astros, they themselves have been a bottom 10 team. In terms of bullpen area, they've been quite a bit better since Josh Hader has come back into the fold. But so for the Twins, they've been a top 8 team in terms of run creation, Byron Buxton and company. I think that they power themselves a victory. So finding a very respectable, like minus 112 here on the Twins money line, won't delay that. And if I had to play the total at the 8.5, I'm in on the under.
By the way, the Brew Crew right now is sitting at 6-1 to win the pennant. Right now, behind the Braves, if you can believe that. To me, there's a little value there on the Brew Crew, especially if you're talking about going to get some reinforcements in that starting rotation. Greg, appreciate the information, as always, my friend. When we come back and talk some more World Cup right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books, and it is that time of the year. Our VSiN NFL betting guide is out right now, so if you're betting those futures markets, win totals, divisional races, MVP, rookie of the year, Super Bowl odds, or any or all of the above, our guy is going to help you get ready before the market really gets set and before training camps even begin. So you're going to find breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, future analysis, power ratings, and so much more. Get it today with our football special. It's just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. With full access to everything we do across every major sport, through the Super Bowl next February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We're going to continue our countdown to Canton, Ohio, as we break down a team each and every day. We'll talk about the Denver Broncos coming up in the very next segment. Oh, so close to getting to the Super Bowl a year ago. There's going to be two teams playing in Jerry World today, and the Cowboys would love to get to the Super Bowl. Well, how about the World Cup? Ivory Coast is going to take on Norway. They kick off three games today. France will be taking on Sweden at MetLife Stadium, 5 p.m. Eastern there in Jersey, and then Mexico against Ecuador in Mexico City at 9 p.m. That's the night capper tonight, Jensen. I can't stay up super late for the last ones. I did catch the early matches yesterday. What do we make of Ivory Coast against Norway today?
Daily Docket getting us started today with a match that I think some people believe that Ivory Coast might be live. Now, I don't know if I can get there, Dave, but I do feel that they could be equal to the task as far as being able to get onto the score sheet here. So a couple of angles that I would look at would be both teams to score and then also over 2.5. And where you look at some high event games, Norway traditionally have played a lot of that, and Ivory Coast has been equal to the task in that regard. So I think that's where we handicap what this match might look like. Of course, if people want to get into the prop market, Erling Haaland there, the striker for Norway, anytime goal, I think would be a strong value prop to get in there. But I would believe that if you think that Ivory Coast are in this game, then both teams to score might be the stronger angle, albeit over 2.5, even with what transpired yesterday, only one over hitting between Brazil and Japan. I think that I would rather go the both teams to score more so than the over. France and Sweden, I could definitely get to an over 2.5 here because France are just going to put the pedal to the metal, man. They will leave no stone unturned. They are going to try and bludgeon Sweden left, right, and center. So much firepower. They're going to control the ball a lot. A lot of high-quality chances for them. Dave, I could see a couple of different ways to play this match today. I think you could lay France 1.5 on the goal line. And I think if you want to get away from that, but also still kind of lean into the firepower, you could take France to win parlayed with the over 2.5. Those would be my two strongest looks as France should. I mean, they should control it. Of course, with what Mbappe has done thus far, they scored 10 goals in the group stage. Nothing here from Sweden's defensive structure shows me that they're going to be able to limit that high powered attack. And then finally, Mexico and Ecuador. Listen, we've got a future on Mexico at 50-1. I would feel that this has a little bit more towards what we just watched with Netherlands and Morocco last night. I did see some of the Mexican faithful outside of Ecuador's team hotel just raising hell, if you will, trying to keep them up throughout the night. We love sports, right? And you're trying to get a decided home field advantage. Reminder, if you think Mexico advances here, that's where I would play them instead of on the money line. Do I think they win this match? I think they do, but I think be more conservative on the 90-minute angle here, Dave. I would take them at the to advance price more so than I would take them on the money line. I do think it could be maybe a little bit of a lower scoring game here. Under 2.5 is definitely one that I would look at as an alternate total here. So something to kind of consider when you're looking at that match, just knowing that the home advantage for Mexico and the crowd are going to be decisive, but you would believe that this will be a physical battle. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again today. Cagey, the word that comes to mind when I look at that. And Dave, I'll throw this back to you. I know we had the upset yesterday with Germany and Paraguay gets through. I did look at the favorites today, Norway, France, and Mexico. If you parlay them on DraftKings all to advance, not to win in the 90-minute regulation window, but to advance, that's plus $1.75. I think it's an intriguing price there. And again, I know there's always danger there, especially with where the games with Norway, Ivory Coast, Mexico, and Ecuador are lined. But I think that's a solid way to look at the three matches later on today.
Yeah, we'll talk to Alex Crook about this coming up in the next hour as well, because I do get the feeling out there in the betting market that people are looking to Ivory Coast as that team today that could upset the favorites, apple cart. As you mentioned, Norway not a big favorite in this one at all, and also Mexico not a big favorite against Ecuador. So I like that, to get that the plus money, and again, you're not worried about doing it. You just get the job done at some point. If you need extra time to get it done, I like where your head's at to get that three-leg parlay at plus money, almost 2-1. If you're playing the favorite side. But again, it feels like at least the inquiries we've been getting have been about Ivory Coast and whether or not they can upset Norway later on today. Again, we'll talk to Alex about that coming up in the next hour. Free agency will hit tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. That's when they'll open up the window, Jensen, for everybody to have those those conversations have already happened. And as we were talking about with our esteemed producer, Joe Friso, here during the break, it does feel like with the extensions that you have now in the NBA, it's not as sexy a free agency period as when LeBron was taking his talents to South Beach. You just lock up these guys, and then when you have them locked up in contracts for multi-years, if you're a superstar and you want to move them, you got to trade them, right? So you make sure you get something back. That's part of the value of locking up superstars. Okay, these guys are stars when you look at some of the notables in LeBron. I mean, arguably the greatest player of all time, but this isn't 20 years ago. James Harden, same thing. Draymond, we all assume he's going to go right back to Golden State there. Norman Powell is a good role player. Jalen Duren's a guy that I think maybe could draw some interest. Tobias Harris, and then Peyton Watson is restricted. But when that's the top of the actual free agents to be, Jensen, it doesn't feel like that there's anybody out there that might move a market for us come tomorrow.
The only two guys I think that would move a market are not free agents. It's Jaylen Brown and it's Kawhi Leonard. Those would be the two that would move some markets on the trade front. And I think that those are bigger in my opinion. I think those are bigger dominoes that would fall before worrying about where LeBron James or James Harden would go. Jalen Duren is also an interesting one there with Detroit, a center, not usually getting a dominant center or a physical presence like Duren that would be available as a free agent. I know Walker Kessler, a lesser talented, if you will, or a lesser impactful guy. Peyton Watson is restricted. I know that Zach Cohen talked a little bit about that. We'll catch up with Jonathan Von Tobel about his thoughts too as we get moving tomorrow. But that feels like a much deeper market at the center position, Dave, than what we traditionally see in free agency. So if I'm handicapping it, if we get a Jaylen Brown trade and or a Kawhi Leonard move, that to me moves the market far more than any of these free agents right now, considering where the topography of the futures market is.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think any of the names that we just showed you, if you're watching here on FanDuel Sports Network or on YouTube TV, are going to actually move it. I mean, LeBron's LeBron, right? So we'll find out where he goes. And if there is maybe, as I mentioned earlier in the program, maybe one market that would move potentially would be Golden State. And let's just say hypothetically that they put together this geriatric, you know, old man superstar YMCA league team there at Golden State. Now, look, it might work for a year, right? If you put together Draymond comes back and you got Steph and then you go get LeBron and then you trade for Anthony Davis. I do think that would move a market, but it's not just one guy, right? It's in conjunction with the other moves that you'd have to make in order to build out a roster. I just wonder, Jensen, in the West, if that's what they're trying to do at Golden State, and this is all hearsay at this juncture, we'll find out later on today, but short of the two guys that you mentioned, real, you know, Jaylen Brown, you go out there and get a Jaylen Brown, whoever you might be out there, that's going to move a market. But if you put together that type of squad, would that interest you at all?
It's hard for me to get past in the West, the two big dogs in San Antonio and OKC. And then it's also kind of hard for me. I mean, I've already got a 30-1 future on the Nuggets to win it all. The Timberwolves making the moves that they just have a kind of their all in moment there. It would be really hard to get any interest in the Lakers or the Warriors, regardless of the team that they put together.
And again, there are markets out there right now for where LeBron will be next. If you want to get involved in those markets, minus $1.15 to go to the Warriors, plus $1.05 to come back to LA. That's interesting. 6-1 Cleveland, Jensen. So you're the third betting choice. And then Miami. Oh, my goodness. Do that again. 10-1 as the fourth betting choice for the King, LeBron James. Interesting. Let's break down. Continue our countdown to Canton. And when we come back, what about Sean Payton and the Broncos? Oh, so close a year ago. What about this year? That's next right here. Beast by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
$30 million in guaranteed prizes. That's what you can cash in this football season in Vegas with the three Circus Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. $1,000 for Circa Millions. 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Jensen and I are involved in that. Circus Survivor, $1,000. Pick one winner every week. Last one standing wins. Now, Grandissimo, a little bit more pricey. For the high rollers out there, $100,000 per entry. Now, you can enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed. Visit circusports.com for all of the details. Jensen, you and I are going to be part of that 128 ways to cash in on Circa Millions. We cannot wait for that. Now, we're going to continue our countdown here. Every single team in the NFL, as we get closer and closer to the Canton, Ohio game here coming up, the Hall of Fame game. So let's kick it off today with today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
Hut, hut. This is the Daily Gridiron.
How I feel about Sean Payton. I know what he is as a head coach, and I know that he rubs people the wrong way, and I kind of like that. He seems to be an antagonist out there. He's clearly has something to say. He's not afraid to say it. He does not hide behind microphones, and I think that can be off-putting to some. But Jensen, the proof's in the pudding with this guy when it comes to coaching and what he was able to do. You remember this 2 years ago at the draft. He went out there with the 12th overall pick and said, Bo Nix is my guy. And people are like, Bo Nix, my guy, this guy's not ready. He's not going to be. And he said, no, that's the guy I want. And in short order, they got all the way to an AFC title game. And if Bo Nix doesn't go down at the end of the Buffalo Bills game to get to that title game, they could have been in the Super Bowl last year. So Jensen, I'm looking at this team now and I'm going, where are the Broncos this year? Coming off that devastating injury to Bo, Sean Payton says he's fine. Do not worry about that. We could play him today. We'd lace him up today. Bo's going to be just fine. That mentality from coach to quarterback, it seems to be working in the Mile High City.
Feels like unfinished business. This was a team I continue to be high on, and I still, as far as our NFL betting guide goes, will be one of the contrarians here in the AFC West. I do like Denver to repeat as AFC West champions. And Dave, their offseason to date has been quite strong. Obviously, the health of Bo Nix, you have to have the trigger man right, and it sounds like all indications are that he will be back and 100% able to do what he showed us last year at a major step forward. David, all began when they traded their number one selection in the 2026 NFL draft to Miami, along with a third rounder and a fourth rounder, to get Jaylen Waddle. And now you put Jaylen Waddle on one side, Cortland Sutton on the other, and all of a sudden, we've got a dynamic passing attack on both sides. You get J.K. Dobbins as a free agent signing, and 2 years, $20 million, eight of that guaranteed, or the run it back core, if you will. They did retain a couple of big linebackers in Alex Singleton and Justin Strnad. So that was big for a defense that was one of the elite units in all of professional football. Dave, I ask you the question, and it was the one that I did for our write-up, or at least one of my write-ups in our NFL betting guide. Denver presents to me the team in the division with the least amount of questions to answer and the fewest amount of unknowns. And that's a big reason why I got back to them as a division champion. My questions to you center around a lot of where people went, at least our experts in predictions. 11 of the 23 experts and contributors here at VSiN picked the Kansas City Chiefs. Completely understand. The LA Chargers got eight. They are the second most in that division. Only four of us selected the Broncos to win the AFC West. Am I fair in looking at where we went through this offseason for those three teams, and take nothing away from the Raiders in Vegas. I think we know they're a year or so away from being in contention. Mm-hmm. But am I fair in asking about, isn't there more to answer on Kansas City and the Chargers front than there is for Denver? Or am I still not thinking of maybe a larger elephant in the room for Denver to be back atop this division?
No, I think it's a fair assessment. And normally when you start off any division with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you're going to say that that team has the highest floor because of those two proven commodities, Super Bowl champions, all the history that we know with those guys. But because you got Mahomes coming off injury and a devastating one, and I know we've seen the golf videos and everything, looks like he's going to be just fine. I would make the argument that the highest floor is with the Denver Broncos. Now, I didn't pick the Broncos to win this division. I did pick the Chargers in this division because I like their tackles coming back. I know how physical they're going to be. I think the interesting thing about a Sean Payton offense is we always look at quarterback, whether you're going back to New Orleans and Drew Brees winning a Super Bowl there. You're always looking at Sean Payton for the play calling because he is an extraordinary play caller. But I do think what he wants to do first and foremost is run the football. Kind of, it's not as overt as you see with Harbaugh with the Chargers, but it is underlying a little bit in Sean Payton's offenses that do not get talked about enough. I think my concern, and the reason why I gave a slight nod to the Chargers over the Broncos, is I am concerned about Bo Nix coming off an ankle, a lower leg, devastating break. You hope everything is fine, and he's back to being that mobile guy. But part of that run game is an attachment of Bo Nix's legs. Let's call it what it is. So that's part of the allure of Sean Payton when he got him out of Oregon, was that kind of mobility that he has. And you get him out of the pocket, he's very accurate out of the pocket. Like, that's actually where he thrives, out of the pocket. If he's not as mobile, is where my concerns would come in this year for Bo Nix, if he's got to be a pocket guy. It's so interesting that we look at certain quarterbacks in the league and we want to put him in a box and say, well, you got to be able to operate in the pocket or else. Some guys can't, and they're better outside of it. And I think Bo Nix might fit that build a little bit. And Sean Payton doesn't really curtail him to that. Sean will work outside of the pocket to make things work for what works best for Bo Nix. And the reason why I give this team overall the highest floor in the division is Vance Joseph as defensive coordinator. There are certain coaches in this league, for whatever reason, do not excel as head coaches and thrive as coordinators. I think that's going to be Brian Daboll again in Tennessee. I don't know about Robert Saleh again. We know he thrives as a defensive coordinator, but as a head coach, this is year four now, coming back to the team that you could not coach as the head guy, and you thrive as the DC. It's absolutely a perfect match. So when I look at a guy like Vance Joseph, who does not need the accolades and the spotlight of being a head coach and works perfectly with Sean Payton, so Sean Payton can worry about his offense and get all the tools that he wants to get with Bo Nix and run the offense the way he wants to, that's a really high floor team. So I really like this football team. I like the Chargers a little bit more from almost just a personnel standpoint. Like, to me, it's Herbert over Bo Nix here, if I'm looking really getting down to the brass tacks. And I do have concerns about Kansas City. Their defense has been eroded a little bit with some of the trades and moves they've made. And we're banking on Patrick Mahomes being 100%, kind of like Bo Nix. That's why I gave the slightest of nods to the Chargers in a real three-team race. But Jensen, I really like the four. I don't think that's a unfair way to look at them. I think they're really solid. I absolutely love them as a playoff team. I just don't know, in a true three-horse race, and I do think it's down the stretch they come, I think the Chargers are going to nod them at the end, but I'm picking up what you're putting down and not mad at you for taking them as one of the four picks here on the network to be AFC West champs.
Okay, so this is also great to handicap for people that are in survivor competitions and also looking at planning and mapping out. Dave, I can't envision a world in which anyone uses the Denver Broncos maybe within the first 6 weeks of the season in a survivor contest. Here's why. You're at Arrowhead, then you're at home against Jacksonville and the LA Rams, on the road to San Francisco and the Chargers, and then you're back home against Seattle. Those are your first 6 weeks, okay? If you get the .500, you're doing a really good job right there. Then you're on the road against Arizona. Maybe that's the first place you look to pop them. Back home against Kansas City, then on the road in Carolina. I look at Carolina and a great little nugget in our VSiN NFL betting guide. Denver is 5-1 ATS, their last six games against Carolina. Might be a spot where you want to hold Denver. I realize looking at them through the holiday schedule too, interested to see where they may be as far as the pecking order in the division. But where would you want to kind of segment the Broncos? Obviously coming to Mile High, always a tough place to win.
Yeah.
Would it be a home game or pass for you and Survivor using the Broncos this year?
Normally, that's one of my rules. I'm always going to look to home teams. But the ironic part about this team is, man, do they play well on the road. I mean, they win in tough spots, right? They're kind of like the AFC version of Seattle, and that's why it felt like we might have been on a collision course until the injury between Denver and Seattle last year in the Super Bowl. That was a very plausible scenario. It's that mentality that Sean Payton instills in his guys to be able to go on the road and win. So if it gets later in the year, I'm going to hold off on them with that brutal schedule to start. But later on in the year, if I had to take a team on the road, this, ironically, would be the ones that I would trust late in the year if you're getting desperate. That's a really good problem to have if you're still alive late in the season. You are watching By the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.